Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Hey, Christian. This is kind of crazy. I just grabbed the microphone and it just came detached, so this is going to be interesting. Okay. I'm going to hold it like this for now while we're in this break. Go to two? Okay. Hold on, everyone. We're having some tech. This is... Talk about a... Happy Friday. Let's see. I literally went to grab the microphone and look what happened, Christian. Isn't this crazy? All right, let's see.
This was a very scary moment for America because it, to me, looked like a terrorist attack. Like, this, to me, looked like what it did on 9/11.
Well, I was in the chamber, actually sitting right there with Rosa DeLauro, also of Connecticut. You know, and over the course of about 5 minutes, it became clear that something was not right. There was a lot more police presence in the chamber. We could hear that protesters had gotten into the building.
I think this is someone who is not in touch with reality. I think this is someone who needs to go to a COVID floor of a hospital and see what our healthcare workers are seeing. I think this is someone who should sit in a nursing home and see the many people who don't get to see their loved ones so he can really understand the weight of his actions. I think this was something that was incredibly atrocious.
Yeah, well put. I didn't see anything. I didn't see people, Marilyn Moore. I didn't see any comments like that. People certainly have a right to stake out opinions on that and other things. And, you know, but so why don't we move on to the what I think is really positive about what's going on. So let's move on.
But Mayor Ganim, but you are a good friend of Mr. Pizarro, and I think it's only fair to ask what you're going to do to hold this guy's feet to the fire.
Right, right. You've said well said.
This is just has been debunked so many times that the causes infertility.
Honestly, taking advice from Nicki Minaj probably isn't the best advice in general. I could probably go a lot worse on that comment, but
that was good. That
yes,
was perfect.
That is that's actually a really that's actually a common myth that we've heard about.
What are you doing to maybe stop this one party rule in silencing the Republicans or even unaffiliated voters who feel like they voted these representatives in and they're just being disregarded?
Yeah, I don't believe a word of that. Actually, legislature got into session 2.5 months ago. If they don't like any of the executive orders, please step up and vote on some changes.
The reason that the House didn't want to, they delayed the vote essentially, was because they didn't feel like they had enough time to really look at the language of it. So now looking at
I don't think that's the case. I think the reason is that there's a group of people who were opposed to the bill and they tried to use the clock to run it out so it didn't happen.
So the implementer won't have things like public option back in it or like the mansion tax or any of those things. This is strictly
no.
So how long, Senator Duff, do you guys have to look through the implementer?
Till tomorrow. We'll have tomorrow to get it done, and then the House will come in Wednesday.
So you guys have a day to look through hundreds of pages? Like, nothing's going to get overlooked, you don't think?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not a selective viewing of each bill. It is one big vote, yay or nay. You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. If you supported the budget, you're going to support most of the components in there.
And this wave is coming, and it's going to hit everybody. And eventually, every police officer is going to be overstressed, overworked, underpaid. They're going to start calling out sick more. This is a recipe for disaster in the way we're heading. We need to reverse that right now.
What would you say to the people who think, okay, well, you know, that's great that, you know, Bobby Valentine's throwing his hat into the ring, but he doesn't have the political background. Like, what would you say to those people?
Oh, they're correct. I don't have the political background, and I don't want this to be about politics. I want this to be about people in what makes the people better and what makes the city better.
But as far as the decision to take out our military before getting evacuees out, that still seems very unclear to me this morning.
You've asked the key question, Melissa, which is not the 10 days preceding our withdrawal or even the 10 weeks, but the 10 years. The lens has to be broadened to analyze what General Milley called a strategic failure.
We were able to get them in, and as soon as it got in the boat, I turned the key and said, let's get this fish in. We were waiting on the results for the past couple hours, so feels pretty good, let me tell you.
It's a very, very big birthday at WICC 600. We are 95 today. We are 95 years young. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. One of the longest standing, oldest talk radio stations still in the state of Connecticut. I did not expect that kind of an interview. There were things that she just said that were completely false.
What is it? What is it called?
PRP, Trauma Resiliency Protocol. And there's an organization called 220.org, and this is what they do.
These are things that I would think the average person really doesn't understand that level of PTSD.
They don't. And, you know, the thing is, they experience it daily. You know, mm-hmm. they get up every morning, and when they go to work, this is what their life is. They're trauma.
I'm Chrissy Scarpatti. I'm an art teacher from Monroe, Connecticut.
I mean, did you think you were being punked?
When they had first contacted me, it had, you know, suggested I would be perfect for the show Outrageous Pumpkins. I thought that it was fake at first.
No taxpayer in West Haven is going to want to cover mm-hmm. this. They're going to be upset about it.
No, I agree with you. I'm a taxpayer as well, and I don't want to cover it.
You're telling me that one of the biggest reasons we're seeing an increase is because of one drug that most people probably won't even need?
Absolutely. That's what's so troubling and outrageous about this. It's not only it includes the cost of a drug that we don't know if it even will work, and yet they're going to start collecting money next month.
So how long have you been with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
From the very beginning.
I really love this song. I'm so glad you picked this, Christian. It makes me happy. That's the island greeting that we send to you. Loving on everyone. What do you say?
Won't that be nice?
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Good morning, Senator Blumenthal. Thank you for stopping by right before the new year. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for having me right before the new year. Good to be with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of news headlines that I wanted to get your opinion on. First of all, I know you are calling on yet again the airline, the industry, to give refunds to people who have had their flights canceled because of COVID-related issues. And I know that I was watching something recently where they said, you know, that's why you got to get traveler's insurance and things like that. But a cancellation of a flight because of staffing issues is really shouldn't fall on the consumer because they didn't not show up for their flight or have something happen with them. The airline had something happen. That sounds like the argument you're making. Do you think airlines will give refunds to people?
They have an obligation to give refunds to people, as you just absolutely correctly said. It's a legal obligation, it's a moral obligation, and they should be providing refunds or promptly rescheduled flights, you know, if there's a delay, or meaningful full credits, if that's what consumer wants. But one way or the other, they owe these refunds, and it would seem unnecessary to remind them of that obligation, except during the last lockdown, they made no refunds to thousands of consumers, mm-hmm. and they still owe them money.
You came on the show and told us about that. I remember that during the height of COVID, and people were just not getting their money back. They were sometimes getting credits, but no one was flying anywhere. It was kind of ridiculous, you know, and I know that their industry is hurting, but quite frankly, every industry is hurting from COVID.
Well, their industry was hurting, and taxpayers gave them, that's right, gave them $54 billion so they could keep people on their payrolls. But poor planning, obviously the unexpected surge of the Omicron variant meant huge numbers of canceled flights. They blame it in part on the weather. But the fact is, one way or the other, they have a moral responsibility, having taken all this money, $54 billion from taxpayers, now to make sure that refunds are provided to people. And they're doing more than well enough to provide those refunds.
Senator Blumenthal, what came from your first call to have them pay back consumers? So when we go back to the beginning of the pandemic and you made this same call, you need to pay back the people who have paid your bills, essentially. Did they respond to it? Did they ever compensate people in any regard?
They compensated a lot of people, and they renewed their promise during a hearing of the Commerce Committee. I sit on the Commerce Committee just a couple of weeks ago. They said they would make refunds, but I want to see the green, so to speak, going to consumers for canceled flights, not apologies. I want to see money going back into their pockets for refunds.
Okay, but it sounds like that could happen because we've seen it happen before. Is that what you're saying?
The United States Department of Transportation has responsibility for enforcing this law. Federal authorities. That's why I am calling for the airlines to do the right thing on their own. Now, obviously, recent history doesn't provide complete assurance that they're going to do the right thing on their own. That's why I want the U.S. Department of Transportation, Secretary Buttigieg, to inform the airlines very directly and unequivocally about this obligation.
Senator Blumenthal is here. I want to switch gears. We have a couple more stories I want to dive into. The unfortunate news about Save the Children, two workers who were confirmed killed in Myanmar, and Save the Children's executive saying that this outrageous attack is a violation of international humanitarian law. Now, it doesn't sound like these two workers were from Connecticut, but we do know Fairfield-based Save the Children has commented on the situation. I'm just wondering, when you hear about things like this, even recently when we had the missionaries in Haiti who were kidnapped for a couple of months, you know, are we doing anything as a nation to better protect the people who are doing good work? Essentially, they're not over there causing trouble. They're over there helping families or helping kids in other countries, but then they pay the ultimate price.
They are indeed doing humanitarian work for the good of the people there, and remember that we have very limited means or power in a region of complete chaos and human rights abuse like Myanmar. And in fact, these two deaths are among more than 30 that occurred in this incident, people who live in the area, and one of a wave of violence that's occurred throughout this region, killing thousands of people, resulting in displacement and refugees of perhaps millions. So the situation in Myanmar is really profoundly shocking overall. I have called for the UN Security Council to take action because it is an international outrage. And I have sponsored legislation. It's called the Burma Act, that would impose sanctions on the regime that is supporting these outrageous acts of torture, murder, and most recently the killing of these humanitarian workers. But overall, you know, you're absolutely right. The humanitarian workers in Haiti, in Syria, in Myanmar, all around the world, put themselves at risk. And we should do everything we can to protect them by imposing sanctions or taking action where necessary. Our means are limited, but we ought to do everything we can.
Mm-hmm. Senator Blumenthal, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I know we just had an incident in East Haven where a young child followed a TikTok trend and ended up getting severely burned and is in Bridgeport's hospital's burn unit right now recovering from it. I was hoping maybe next week we could dive back into social media. I know throughout 2021, you and I have talked a lot about it and holding social media's feet to the fire and better protecting children, and TikTok yet again back in the headlines. So I was hoping maybe next week we could pick up there and talk about that.
It'll be very timely next week. Social media will be front and center as we go into the new year in Congress. And I look forward to being with you. Happy New Year to you, all your listeners, and look forward to being with you in 2022.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you always being dedicated to coming on to Melissa in the Morning each and every week. Senator Blumenthal, thank you for 2021, and we'll see you in the new year.
Talk to you then. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. We are in the midst of celebrating Kwanzaa. It actually started the day after Christmas and it goes until January 1st. And I know the basics about Kwanzaa just from doing research on it, but I myself have never celebrated it. And I wanted to be able to not only acknowledge it, but also learn myself and to teach others a little bit more about Kwanzaa. And I thought, who better to have on than our own Bridgeport Civic activist, Wayne Winston. You probably recognize Wayne Winston. He has been on the show a couple of times, but he is on every Wednesday morning during Lisa Wexler's show, talking about amazing topics with Lisa in studio. And Wayne is here this morning. Good morning, Wayne. Thank you so much for popping on. I appreciate it.
Oh, good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate your show. You know, I listen in the morning, and you're spreading the knowledge and bridging some great gaps that need to be. And you're definitely our voice that I love hearing in the morning. So,
oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know if my husband feels the same way, but I do appreciate you saying that. So, Wayne, I wanted to start off with Kwanzaa. I think what's interesting, and I don't think I used the correct language when I said it, but Kwanzaa is not something that has been around essentially as long as like a Hanukkah or a Christmas. It was created back in the 60s, correct?
That's correct. In actually, 1966, by Mulana Karanga. He was a professor of Black Studies at Cal State University. And it's really tied to like the roots of African Americans, because remember when we were brought here from Africa, the vast majority during, you know, the slavery times you often speak of, a lot of our culture was destroyed. And there's so many different ones. There's 53 different countries in Africa at the time. And they were very similar, but they were different. So there was no culture, real history, or celebration that was unified. And that's what Dr. Karanga sought to do in 1966. This is like right after the civil rights, but for that matter, during the civil rights movement. So he came up with this idea to have something not in replace of Christmas or in place of someone else's holiday, but something that could bring Black people together and say, this is what we can feel good about, because it is a collection of ideas and principles similar to what our Jewish friends do, but different. It's to bring pride and unity, and that's what each one of these 7 days does. You light a candle on each day, and there's 7 principles which you probably have there. And it reflects upon what each candle does on each day until the first of the year. So it's a bit of an atonement. It's a chance to talk with family. It ends in a feast on the New Year's. And it's just a wonderful thing. And anyone actually could participate in it. You just have to believe and want to find out more about Black culture, because that is there, and there's plenty of research out there for it. And it's another way to solidify some positivity. And that's what these 7 days are all about. And the colors are red, black, and green. That's why you see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I'm glad you said it's for anyone, because I didn't want to seem close-minded at all, Wayne. But I was going to ask if you had to be African-American to celebrate it, because I've always found Kwanzaa to be very interesting. I think the fact that it's not really a religious holiday, it's more of a celebrating culture holiday. I think we should have more of those. I think it's very neat. But I never really got to wrap my mind around it. And I thought to myself, well, why wasn't this really presented in school? Well, because we were all on school break, you know, growing up. So I was wondering, anyone can celebrate it. You just have to really know you're celebrating essentially African-American culture.
Yes. And it's you know, you have like Black History Month coming up mm-hmm. in February. So much is dumped into that. It's great. I think a lot of people just get, after a while, they go like, oh, man, it's Black History Month again. Or you'll be going, yay, it's Black History Month. But that's not the only time you need to know about a culture. And I have a very good friend. He's Italian. And we talked about this years back, which was, you know, where you come from. You know, if you're from Sicily or from another part of Italy, you can have a similar culture that your family has, and you'll celebrate Irish culture, you know, so on and so forth. And what we unfortunately did not have is a culture of African Americans, because all of the nations in Africa that were brought here, we were stripped of that idea and that discussion thereof. So it comes from a Swahili word. Basically, what those principles and everything are about, the 7 principles, and I encourage everyone to read it. It's part of your knowledge, and it makes it possible for us to look at something positive. So, like, unity is about the family. You know, there's one where we just have a tremendous amount of inspiration because you're learning about Black authors and Black writers and people of excellence. So that's not limited to that day. And it feels good to get families together of all nationalities as I participate in everyone else's holiday. This is one that we could do on the reverse. So it's all positivity. And I wish that more people would be involved. I think this is a great way to do it. And I greatly appreciate you even taking a few minutes and finding it important enough to talk about.
I think it is. And honestly, the thing about it, Wayne, is I do feel a lot of people probably fall into the category that they're interested and they want to understand it more. But we live right now in a society where so many people are fearful of asking questions because they never really did before. To whoever's fault that may be, either that it wasn't presented to us earlier on, or the fact that we are so hyper aware now living in today's times. I don't think people know how to ask questions like, hey, Wayne, can I celebrate Kwanzaa even though I'm white? You know what I mean? I think that we don't know how to ask questions anymore. And I think you make it very easy, Wayne, for me to publicly ask you questions and to understand more. And I know I am curious about these things. And why shouldn't we give time to Kwanzaa? Listen, we gave time to Hanukkah. We gave time to Christmas. We give time to all these other holidays. And I think Kwanzaa is beautiful. And I think it's an incredible week that, especially as I mentioned, because kids are off and most adults are off from work, it gets missed by a lot of people who maybe don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but they should know about it. I think it's important.
And, you know, to your point, I appreciate you, you know, we have so many landmines going on these days, especially the ones that are politically charged.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't serve anyone well because some things are wrong because they're wrong. And you can't put them in a place where someone's feeling some kind of a way because of a political or just personal difference with an agenda. So those landmine type of questions they've turned into, I see it so much myself, and it really is tragic because we have to do better. The spirit of discernment is very, very, very important. And look at what's behind the curtain. Not always that you think the person may be sinister, but see where that root comes from. If it's something that's really positive and meant to be that, or is it something really there that's trying to hurt you? Because a lot of my white friends, as we get into these discussions, it becomes just say what it is, you know, because no one knows everything. No one gets everything right. I don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. And that goes for Black people towards white issues and vice versa. It's just there's a lot of pain out there right now, suffering with COVID and so on. Financially, people are wondering where they are, how healthy you're going to be. So something like Kwanzaa for African Americans, and we want more people to participate in it that are Black who have not done it themselves because they're still learning about it. It's still like a spot in the culture that is still developing because it's all about the knowledge that you get. Because widespread, it won't be everywhere. But the pride that you get, a good friend of mine, Keith Joins, passed away. He was an amazing, amazing, amazing man. And he was a tribal elder. The African drums, the African garb that you wear, the music, the fellowship, he would go through every single day. And a lot of our churches right here in Mount Airy did an amazing Kwanzaa celebration for many, many years. No, I don't know that they did it this year because of what was happening.
Sure.
But churches are very good and very, very powerful and influential in this, even community organizations. So I encourage everyone, obviously, if you didn't catch it from the beginning, you can light a candle today for one of the principles. And I'm not going to tell you what they are because I want you to go and check them out. They're very, very powerful and they're positive and they'll make you feel good. And it's just celebration of family and people and positivity. And God knows we need a lot more of that right now.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. We are talking to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston, and we're talking about Kwanzaa. So, Wayne, I know you have challenged everyone to learn what the seven principles are. I think that's a great idea. But take us to a Kwanzaa celebration. What are some of the foods that you eat? What are some of the activities that go on? For example, I know for Hanukkah, let's just take as an example, latkes are very popular. Fried donuts are very popular. Lighting the candles, playing dreidel. So what are some of the things that you experience at a Kwanzaa celebration?
Well, for one, it's depending on the day, there's things that are celebrated because the feast happens on the first of the year, which is the end of the celebration. But I will tell you the first principle, which actually starts on Christmas. It's called Umoja. It means unity. Some people are very upset about how Christmas has been commercialized and so on and so forth. And so they don't celebrate it for any number of reasons. Dr. Karanga started the Kwanzaa celebration in case people felt that way. Again, this is something that leans back into Black culture. So if you're not into that so much, or even if you are, you know, you can celebrate Kwanzaa at the same time as Christmas and so on. The meaning is it's maintaining unity as a family, community, a race of people. The second one is a tricky word, Kuji Kagulia. It means self-determination, defining and naming and creating and speaking for ourselves. The third day, and it's a candle lit on each one of these days, Ujima, it means collective work and responsibility. So you'd be building and maintaining our community, solving problems together. So people get together and we discuss how do we make our community a better place. There's Ujamaa, cooperative economics. That has to do with from a business sense, you know, making sure that we're pointing out we need to do business with each other and support businesses in our communities. In particular, the ones that are Black businesses, because they're usually the most underserved, underrepresented, and so on. Number five is Nia, which is actually today, because there's actually 7 days, because it starts on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Nia is purpose. You work collectively to build communities that will restore the greatness of African people. Now, that basically means that we are figuring out ways to deal with the issues in our communities in that day, in discussions. It's kind of like the workshop and fun at the same time. These principles are very important to just show what we think of our community and our families in the world, which is often very jaded, and they don't understand these things are important to us. Tumba, creativity, which is number six, to find new innovative ways to leave communities of African descent in more beautiful and beneficial ways than the community inherited. So this is all about taking it a step further. It's implementing those things that we've thought about. How do we create a safer community, a better environment? You know, they'll plant flowers. There'll be songs that are taught. There are, each community is so different, but the same. Those things that we do the day before in Nia help us identify those things. And that's what we attempt to do, not just from that day. That's where it starts. We continue on. And then number seven, Imani, faith. It's the belief in God, family, heritage, and leaders, and other people who will lead to victory, you know, for Africans around the world, promoting leadership and positivity. That's also the day of the feast. So if you're having a Kwanzaa celebration, you usually will do one big celebration if it's a group thing, mm-hmm. and you'll see red, black, and green. There will be corn, for example, that is used to represent the crops of Africa, rewards of celebration. You'll also see something called the Mikata. It's a mat, which is on the table, and that's what you put the candle holder on. The candle holder is called the Kinara, and that holds the seven candles, and it has seven candles. There's three black ones, three red ones, three green ones and one black one that's in the middle. You'll see a lot of muhindi, which is corn, and that represents children in the future. You also find there's mishuma, saba, which are the seven candles, and they're emblematic of the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. So when we use that in Swahili, the seven principles are called the Nguzo Saba. Then the gifts that we give are usually things that are made because they symbolize what the creative culture does. Mm-hmm. But of course, these days, you may get something else because we're not so much in that time anymore. But I think you're going to understand where we're going.
It's very, very neat. I think there's just so many just incredible aspects to Kwanzaa that I think so many people would just be enlightened by if they celebrated it in you know, even just a first time. And then I feel like it would just be something. I would love to one day celebrate Kwanzaa. I would love to go to something. So if you ever know of someone hosting something locally, please, Wayne, let me know. I'd love to celebrate it one year. I just think it sounds incredible. And thank you for taking the extra time this morning to talk about it and inform us. I really appreciate it.
No, and thank you. And, you know, the diversity of WICC's audience is so important. And sometimes it gets a little, you know, heavy, as one caller called and said to us one day, and you probably hear it as well. Man, that's a lot right there. There's a lot going on in the world, and we have to report the things that are good and positive, but keeping people informed and giving good people the right information so they know where to stand is so important, because without that, the people who have the bigger megaphones aren't necessarily the best ones for our country mm-hmm. to be listening to. And so there has to be that voice that kind of questions that and even puts it in perspective. So I do it as best I can. And Melissa, I know that you do it. And I know WICC does it very well. And I want to tell you, you're the only station that has a black guy and a Jewish woman probate judge with regular radio.
On a weekly basis. It's so true. It's so true. But you know what? It's a beautiful thing.
I couldn't believe it.
I think it's a beautiful thing, Wayne Winston. And we so appreciate you popping on the morning show as well, time to time. Thank you so much.
Listen, I greatly appreciate you guys. Always back to the Barker. Please, everybody, have a great holiday. I know you're going to do that yourself. But from the bottom of our hearts, the people in the Bridgeport community, we want things to be better, too. We want the things to be healthy as well. We're concerned about the violence, and we're doing the best we can because no one's got the magic button to push that and change the hearts and minds of men overnight.
Mm-hmm. No question.
So we're standing there with you.
Yeah, no question. Wayne Winston, everybody, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.